boys were called edgy. Told they'd never make it past 5 episodes. Here those podcast jerks are. Back for season 2. The Boys in the Woods Podcast. The show your mother warned you about. And that your dad was hiding in the basement listening to. Get ready for the Boys in the Woods Podcast.
I just realized that it says LeBron spectacle.
I thought it was done on purpose.
Oh no, it could be. The guy is gonna definitely earn that nickname if he keeps doing the same shit that he's doing right now.
Sorry, you caught me mid gummy.
Mid gummy. Yummy, yummy.
Now I've got enough saliva in my mouth. I could do a fucking 2.5 hour public announcement.
Yeah,
you always eat a banana before any speaking. For those of you who don't know, the stretching too. Yeah, there's a bunch of science behind it. But long story short, eating a banana before a speech, you don't have to drink water during the speech.
Interesting.
It allows for the buildup of or allows for the maintaining of saliva in the mouth. But we're talking about LeBron right now. There's always so much to talk about when it comes to LeBron. You have two interesting sides of the conversation. One that is right, and one that is terribly wrong. Okay, so just because you've played for 3,000 years doesn't make you great. It makes you athletic. It makes your body better than other bodies. I don't know.
Has he been a really good basketball player his entire career? Yes. So have a lot of other players.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with LeBron James is that most team accomplishments during his tenure are non-existent. You have a assload of personal accomplishments, which come with anyone who plays any sport for 21 years. Bo Nix just played 25 years of college football and had 8,000 fucking passing yards, right? Does that make him the greatest college football player of all time? Hell yeah, a great card. But you see where I'm going with that, right?
So, yeah, I understand. So
there was an interesting conversation in our chat today about tight ends, and we'll get to that later. But the premise of that conversation was, is he the best tight end of all time? Three rings are team accomplishments. Okay, they may put you into a GOAT conversation, but when you're talking about the greatest person of all time, rings are a team accomplishment. Okay, then why do rings matter when it comes to LeBron? Because Jordan got the rings and the accomplishments. There is no question. Michael Jordan never lost to the same team 11 fucking times in a row, including the playoffs. So it's like,
really wrong about this.
What's that?
Before you make your next comment, you want to know what's so wrong about everybody's comments, their negativity towards the whole Michael Jordan thing?
What's that?
Most of it is millennials or people, these Xers, these people that were born maybe 22, 23 years old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Saw him play one fucking time.
And two, in the conversation as well, you're going to start hearing a lot about Travis Kelce being the greatest tight end of all time. Like I said, I need over 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns in the next two seasons. And one of those seasons, you better be hitting close to 1,500 yards. And almost 20 touchdowns.
Here's because, the thing. Our opinion should matter more because we both grew up watching we watched all of Jordan's career. We're watching all LeBron's career.
Yeah.
We can judge it. We can judge it.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Jordan won the dunk contest when I was born. The year before that, they put out the rap of all raps. And if you haven't seen that rap video yet with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and there was a bunch of them. It's hilarious, right?
Yeah,
you go see that. Good. LeBron James has been a phenomenal talent on the NBA, and he's been an ambassador for basketball. Don't get me wrong, but those aren't the questions. You're trying to make this dude into the greatest basketball player of all time. And I tell you what, I was watching a clip of Oscar Robertson today, it was Oscar, right? I think. Maybe it was Wilt. Maybe it was like Wilt in the early 90s. Yeah, I think it was Wilt in the early 90s.
Yeah,
it was Wilt in the early 90s. And he was asked, how would you do today? And he laughed. He said, actually, basketball was harder then because the rules favored the defense, not the offense. He goes, I'd have three fucking bodies on me at all time, and I'm still my last season of basketball. He goes, right before I put up the hundo, I was averaging like 71 points a game. He said, are you kidding me? You only got to keep one body on me. He said, I'd go for 75 a night all season long, and I believe him. The dude played different. It's like there was another clip, too, Easter, the All-Star NBA All-Star basketball games when they were really good, right? Not what they are today. So it was East versus West, and this East team had the entire Piston squad on it. The entire Piston squad, right? Then also had Shaq and a couple of other players.
Yeah.
The East squad was down 21 points. The dude said, fuck it, put the entire Pistons team in. Literally, the entire fucking Pistons starting five went in, came back and won the game. Against the West All-Stars, right? So the game was so much different back then. It was so much more physical. Right? Like, I still remember Scottie Pippen going to the free throw line with a pumpkin head on top of his head because he just took an elbow to the face. Right? LeBron James would be out 12 weeks and he would show up to the press conference in a full body cast.
Yeah.
So I'm over this conversation. Has he been entertaining? Yes. Has he made the game better? No. He's arguably the cause of super teams, which created a hell of an MBA, whatever the fuck it is, MPA or whatever their player shit is.
Well, it's definitely changed the salaries for NBA players for sure.
Yeah.
The super team bullshit, the super max contracts, all that stuff, it all came from him, I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And now it's like I've seen more in the NBA playoffs about LeBron James than I have Anthony Edwards. And Anthony Edwards just destroyed the Phoenix Suns, bro.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Didn't they just sweep them 4-0?
Fucking destroyed them, bro.
Yeah.
Destroyed them.
Yep.
Not a single superstar on the Phoenix scored 24 points.
No.
In that closeout game. Not one. And nobody made more than 9 baskets. And everyone shot over 14 baskets. I think Kevin Durant was like 6-for-15. You got Kevin. They made it so Kevin Durant only took 15 shots in 60 minutes of basketball. He didn't even average a shot a fucking minute. And you're talking Kevin Durant, the guy who single-handedly saved the Golden State Warriors. Because all they would have been remembered for is being up 3-1 to LeBron, being up 3-1 on LeBron James and losing after a 73-9 season. Losing in those finals. And then Kevin Durant shows up and you win two back-to-back championships, the start of your random-ass dynasty. The Golden State Warriors are who they are today. So without Kevin Durant, without that guy, Golden State isn't who we know they are today. If Kevin Durant didn't show up that summer, so now we're talking fast forward a few years later, and Anthony Edwards and this team of young guns, we're not even talking about Karl Anthony Towns, we're talking about Anthony Edwards destroying the Phoenix Suns, and that team holding Kevin Durant to 15 shots.
Do you think they just sent KD to retirement?
No.
You think he's coming back?
Yeah. Yeah,
not with Phoenix or
no, there's no choice. They're done. There's no more of this James Harden, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
The only people they can re-sign outside of the big three, they can only retain with a veteran minimum. So the games itself, probably. I'm guessing are maybe a 40-win team next 2-3 years.
I heard rumors, scuttlebutt, that maybe possibly he'd be heading back to the East, maybe to Philly. KD would go to Philly with Embiid.
So
a 1-2 punch.
I don't know too much on this yet. It's going to be interesting to follow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because the contract structure of it is what's got me curious. If Phoenix can dump Kevin Durant and his contract, they will.
Yeah.
And if Kevin Durant's out,
it's got capital, it's got money to blow. For sure.
That sounds like a Kevin Durant thing. The kitchen's hot. It's time for him to leave.
This could be a
him Detroit, and Draymond Green didn't like
Detroit
each
Pistons type deal where they get KD for his last season, kind of like they did with Blake
Griffin. Blake Griffin. Yeah,
He had one good season with
KD. Doesn't like Detroit though.
No, he does not.
Him.
But
he hates him. He's even said it a bunch too.
Not many people do. No. Not many people do.
No. When you win 14 fucking games in a season,
you're not going to get a lot of people that are going to like you. They're not going to want to go there. It's not a hot place to be.
There needs to be a regulation zone. There needs to be. In all professional sports, there needs to be a regulation, right?
Yeah.
And it would be easiest in baseball because there's already that tiered farm system, right? But there needs to be a relegation to where your major league team becomes a AAA affiliate team. And you just have to play your way back in. It's like there needs to be something to hold owners accountable. It can't just be the dollar anymore, especially if this is an entertainment business.
Did you happen to see what, I don't remember what owner it was, but he said something like that. Let's do away with the NBA draft as it is. This whole lottery
system. Yeah, which is fucking terrible.
And he said, let's just let these players go. Let AAA just draft these players to AAA. And then the teams that are crappy get to pick from them the players that they want. And it's like a farm system, like you said. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it was the team in Philly. That right. guy can pluck any player he right. wants for his team.
And we've mentioned this many times on the show, right? The absolute worst NBA player, in my opinion, many others and yours from time to time or all the time, but regardless, the worst player in the NBA is closer to LeBron James than any average person is closer to that NBA player, right? So these terrible NBA players are really only in this situation because of the shit one and done bullshit in men's college basketball.
Right.
So there needs to be a farm system. If you're sending these kids to the way too early show, then that way too early show needs to be single A, double A, or triple A.
You can't tell me that the NBA G League could not accommodate an extra four teams, and then it gives them another, 60 players that they got to be able to bring in every
season. Isn't
that
like the damn purpose of the G League?
I believe it is.
Like, how many? Isn't that the definitive person?
Yeah.
Like, you can choose college or the G League or European ball. Like, basketball is weird, right?
Right. Yeah, you just got college and that's it.
Well, and right now, you've got the USF.
There was one guy that got drafted out of Canada, so there was that.
Yeah, you've got the UFL. You've got the CFL now. Or you've got the CFL. You've got the UFL now, which is doing really well. Our Seattle Battlehawks are killing it. Minus that first game of the season when it looked like they just weren't ready to play.
We were just going to try to buy in. Were we going to try to get in on one of these teams or try to buy into one of these teams?
It was the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Okay.
Is law, baby. Caw is law. And I'm wearing we could just say this now, the Burgies are always on, but I'm wearing the blue in solidarity with the St. Louis Battlehawks, who won their fourth game of the season after losing the first one, which I believe now they're 3-0 in the XFL division.
Nice.
So we're funneling towards the playoffs. We just need to keep our heads up, keep doing some really wonderful things. There's probably three wide receivers in the XFL right now that'll be playing in the NFL next year. I'm pretty excited about that. One dude's 6'5" and just mossing dudes, bro. I'm just befuddled on how you're in the UFL and not the NFL. I'm guessing it has to do with some off-field issues, or maybe your head wasn't maybe the head wasn't in the game and it was taken away, and now you're playing like you're never going to get back there. And that's how you get back there. You have to continue playing that way.
Yep.
Absolutely. Which is what I hope for our future NFL draft picks. This class is really weird, bro. They're cocky. And I don't know how to take that. Are they confident or are they cocky? Because we got dudes that we drafted in like the fourth or fifth round who are like, I could do whatever. I'm going to be the guy. And I'm like,
all right, guess what? You got an opportunity because they have some pretty good players you got to try to beat out playing time. So
the Green Bay Packers offensive line ain't no hobby horse show. Those are real stallions on that line. They're stallions.
Yeah.
They ain't just some stick with a head on the end of it.
All right.
So people with cameras can be perverts. That's all that is to me. Perverts.
We went over that. Yes. I agree. I want to see it to believe it. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Put your money where your mouth is.
And we'll dig into this a little bit too, right? Because I cannot stress enough, I am not upset with Jordan Morgan. In fact, the more tape I watch of him, the better I feel about him, minus that injury, that looming injury, which would have left him in the second round, pick 41 or 48, he would have been there.
I looked up a players that were drafted. It's not a very – apparently it hasn't come back to affect too many players in their careers. They haven't been – their careers haven't been ended because of it, but it has ruined their draft stock.
Yeah.
Maybe they just wanted him that bad. That's the only thing I can think of. Before the injury, he was a top 15 pick.
Yes. Yeah. So and he came back to Arizona.
Off of potential, not off of what he is.
Yeah. Right. And looking into the potential, and if that injury wasn't there, I don't know if he would have been there at 25.
Probably not.
Let alone 41 or 48. The more I look into the kid. But it's all about, it's going to be, what ethic are you bringing to the table? Because the get to know you video, I didn't like that too much, to be honest with you. He only played football because Arizona recruited him. Otherwise, he wouldn't even be playing football right now. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, right? Like most of this, these superstars that you end up seeing, like, hell, when they shit, they turned around and looked at it to see if it was breaking the line.
Yeah.
It's their life. So I've got too many questions. And that's what frustrates me about a first round pick. How can you have this many questions with a first round draft pick? You're not supposed to.
We're going to have to go to spring ball or summer ball. We're going to have to go to training camp. We'll try to use our press passes, get into training camp and try to maybe interview some of these players that are trying to make the team or something, or even get a little soundbite from one of these guys. Just get a little bit of intel on what's going on inside the old noggins. See right. what they're up to.
Right. Because yeah,
we can find a bike.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, buy the kid a bike.
Absolutely. And tootly. And there's a lot of questions. I would love to ask questions, but absolutely we'll see how that pans out. When you look at the Green Bay Packers as an organization, you don't expect this conversation afterwards. And research.
They weren't desperate for any of those players that they drafted. That's why they just were like,
I would like to know what the hell they were doing in their draft room, right? Because on paper, we need a cornerback terribly. And when you had the two best cornerbacks within reach the entire draft and you made no move, that just leaves too many questions to those who aren't fair weather fans.
I will say something right now, and I don't want to rip on the guy.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people thinking that, I don't want to say it because I don't want to be the guy that tears down a young player. But the kid from Iowa, I don't think that he's going to be able to cover an NFL wide receiver.
The
Cooper. I don't think Iowa did not play great offenses. What was the best offense they played all season? Ohio State's. Wasn't Michigan's offense. Michigan's receivers aren't elite. Let's just be honest. Right. They're not.
They didn't have an elite offense that allowed the wide receivers to be elite. Yeah, I agree. Right.
They ran the ball and he did okay in run coverage. Michigan still won the game. But I'm saying that the teams that they showed as highlights against teams that are good offensively.
No.
Any corner is gonna look great against a lot of those teams.
Yeah. Again, I believe
not to be that guy.
No, I know
be that guy, but
I don't disagree with you.
On the other hand, when Sam Laporta was drafted, you watched that guy. He was all they had.
Yeah.
He was out there. He was going against double, triple coverage, catching balls. You could tell he was going to be. Plus, Iowa is tight end you. We know this because of George Kittle, all these guys. They bring in the best. So
my thing with him is that the reason I'm having trouble being on that same page is I felt the very same way about Tyrann Mathieu, about the Honey Badger. I thought he was too small. I didn't think he could close the gap. I thought anybody 6'2 would be better. And Tyrann Mathieu has been a dog in the NFL for a minute. I think the cards are definitely stacked against him. I do. I think body size and really
He's going to Philly, and they're playing a very physical conference too. Like he's gonna have to go up against like CeeDee Lamb and shit like that. I mean, it's not boding well for him. There's lots of very quick, good receivers in that division. But he's a rookie. We're gonna see it.
And that's what it comes down to. Even Caleb Williams. The undisputed number one draft pick from day one and day two.
Oh, yeah, he's going to have a hard time reading coverage.
It's
going to be a learning curve.
Because I'm not specific on the numbers, right? I'm going to do a huge gap here. But it's like first round draft picks in their entirety are successful like between 20 and 49% of the time. And the reason I'm up
if
on the 40.
Lucky, it's that much.
And the reason I'm up on the 49 is because when you break it down into the individual side of things, going the undisputed number one draft picks. Undisputed number one draft picks. When you get those, when you're on everybody is saying you're the guy more than they're not, those pan out more often than they don't, but never in a back-to-back sense. So there's just questions everywhere. But if the Cooper DeJean ends up being a bust, Green Bay won that cake.
One of the guys was saying when the Packers drafted one of those safeties, they said he's a corner because they said he's too small to be a safety in the NFL. They drafted one. Plus, are they going to play too high safeties? If they play too high safeties, they can just bring the edge in, and then maybe they'll bring in another linebacker and do that. But I don't like the way I don't like that kind of defense. That's what the Eagles ran last year and got burnt a shit ton.
Too high safety doesn't work in the NFL anymore.
No, not unless
you're going to lose the middle or you're going to lose the flats.
You know what that is? What defense that is? The Bears played it forever. That's the bend but don't break, but that's the don't give up the big play, but you let them go.
What was his name? Not Joe Barry. What was the other idiot before him?
Oh,
Capers.
Capers. That was Capers' defense. Yeah.
Yeah. That's we lived almost 5 years of bend, don't break. Right. It was like, we're going to give up a field goal every possession. We just don't give up touchdowns. Yeah. And with Aaron Rodgers, we were scoring a touchdown every three possessions or kicking a field goal every 2.5 possessions. So
by that time, your defense is burnt right the fuck out by the end of the games, though.
Right. So you had Aaron Rodgers having to throw a handful of passes to make the game look good. Those defenses just don't work, though.
Who did the Packers pick up on undrafted free agents? I know they picked up the offensive lineman. Maybe they picked up a corner. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I haven't looked that in. It's been pretty quiet. Let's see. Let me pull up some.
They still got some a little bit of money. They could still pick up a guy like you said in free agency as well.
We've got Simmons.
Hell, Odell is still sitting out there, so there's got to be at least a corner out there, right?
Oh man! Oh, there's definitely that's Justin Simmons from here. Justin Simmons from Denver. There he was. He's a really fucking great dude. Tall, good hands, good coverage, press coverage. There doesn't appear to be anything.
Okay, undrafted free agents.
Eric Stokes and Christian Watson look great to start the offseason. That's going to be huge too, man.
Charles, I have the full list.
Go ahead.
Of the undrafted free agents that the Packers took. It's lineman Trent Jones, Michigan, Alcorn State running back, Jarvion Howard, a wide receiver from Albany, Arizona State's tight end, Messiah Swanson, offensive tackle, Wisconsin lacrosse center, Northern Illinois defensive lineman, Ohio defensive lineman, linebacker from Washington, Troy cornerback, Don Callis, kicker from Buffalo, punter from Duke, long snapper from Wisconsin. Oh boy, did our boy Wags get picked up by anybody? I never even got to see this.
Yeah, you'll have to look that up. I know that there was another Wisconsin individual who was just drafted, a Wisconsin offensive lineman from the Kakana, maybe?
Yeah.
Started with a K, so congratulations to him. That was definitely exciting. One of my biggest concerns coming into the season, it's not Jordan Love, it's not the offensive line, or it's damn Christian Watson.
Yeah, it's that hamstring.
Is he going to what is he doing in the off season to ensure he can play an entire football season?
Hopefully he's got a nice lady friend that's sitting there rubbing that hammy the whole time. Getting nice and warm.
I've expected a little more than that. I want you in fucking ice pods. I want you in those cryopods every day.
Just don't burn your fucking foot or toe. Like,
Yeah. Your feet shouldn't be in there. That's a hamstring thing, right?
Yeah.
You got to be doing those every day. You got to be at a sports medicine place. Green Bay's got some great sports medicine doctors. Some fantastic ones, dude. If he hasn't spent his entire off season lasering that fucking hamstring, I don't want to see him next year. I don't. It's a roster spot.
What if he comes out spring ball, they start practicing or whatever, and he's stretching out and we don't see him practicing and he's not going through OTAs, but that's normal for a guy who's a second, third year player. But what if we get to the preseason and he's in street clothes the entire time and he's not even going to practices? Well, I'm going to start thinking the same thing. This dude either only wants to play on Sundays and he doesn't want to put in the work, or we drafted this guy for nothing.
It was a good draft pick where we got him. It's terrible that he's not putting in the effort to be the best he can be from what it looks like. Please prove me wrong. But yes, I agree with you. Now, there are two bright, bright lights, right? This draft was terrible. Let's be honest. This draft, and not necessarily a grade sense, just talent sense, really. After you got past the first three, there really wasn't much on the board. We're excited about all the potential.
The first round was, I told you, I don't always agree with the experts when they said there was only 22 like gradable, draftable players where you can say, yes, this guy could either be a starter or he's going to be a backup. I mean, after 22, pretty much the 22nd pick, that was a question for every other player. You started seeing it in the descriptions when they were writing these. You read some of the articles that I posted in the group chat.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but in the second or third round, you shouldn't be talking about a player having to take a year off to maybe work on his skills so that maybe he can be a role player. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, it has you questioning what they were doing entering the draft.
Sure. Was there not enough preparation?
Especially with NIL nowadays.
Yeah. Is NIL going to make players lazier, or are they just going to stay in the league longer, like in college, to get that money?
Maybe right now in women's, because the pay is so separate. But
more so, not the first rounders, but the second rounders. You might make more money. If you're not going to go be a first round projection, you might make more money in NIL.
Definitely. Yeah.
If you're making 250K, instead of league minimum, 180.
The good news is we didn't take a wide receiver in this draft. And of all the terribleness of this draft, the draft was actually pretty wide receiver heavy. There was some good picks in the second, third, and there was even some great picks in the fourth. Right? I think Luke McCaffrey ended up going like fourth or fifth round or third or fourth round.
Late third. I think he was like one of the last picks. He was number 100 to the Washington Commanders.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of wide receiver talent, but with everyone healthy, Green Bay doesn't need wide receivers. Not only that, but the word from LaFleur himself is that both Eric Stokes and Christian Watson are on track to be healthy to start the season.
If Stokes is ready to roll, then that's
going to be huge.
Shares up a corner, right?
See, and that's, I think there's another massive spotlight.
Maybe that's just something
either where we were thinking, what we don't know, or the direction the dice is being rolled, right?
Here's the thing. If both of those linebackers pan out, that interior defense is going to – that run defense might have gotten way better.
Yeah.
Way fucking better.
We needed to get to the quarterback more. We need to stop the run, which we did pretty decent at until we needed to stop the run. Yeah. And then it came back and bit us in the ass. I can't imagine the tackling drills these guys are about to be going through to start the year.
I'm glad they got another kicker to come in to get a little competition going, though.
With the new kick rules coming in, I'm excited about the new kick rules. I really am. It's going to bring more entertainment to the NFL. It really will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last year, I was going to the restroom or whatever I had to do during the kickoffs. It was almost a guarantee. I was shocked if I came back and we weren't on the 25. Like, what happened? 9 out of 11 of those times, we were well below the 20.
I'm excited where the Green Bay Packers are. I am. Obviously, we're in a really good spot. If the one thing we're questioning, if the one thing we're talking about the most is a draft, we are in a great position to play football. Unlike a handful of other teams,
yeah,
who are very excited in the thought of
what they might have, yeah,
or what some other team may or may not have done.
Yeah,
what we have to understand,
we don't need to worry about you guys. We're good.
Yeah,
we're
is good. We were one kick away from the NFC Championship football game. Yeah. That's where the Green Bay Packers were. That's where we are coming into this offseason. What do I expect from the Green Bay Packers this season? Playoffs. I expect playoffs. I want to say Super Bowl because I'm a fan, but as an analyst, I expect the playoffs. The NFC North is going to be tough.
Right. I want my expectations to go up as the season goes up. You make the playoffs, then my expectation is win the NFC, and then it's go to the Super Bowl, and then it's win the Super Bowl.
Last year, both of us had an average of 7-9 wins. We might as well just say we had the Packers at 8 wins last year. This year, we have them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't expect them to win the NFC North. I want us to win the NFC North, but the Lions are a really good football team.
Yeah.
Coached by a really good coach.
It's going to be difficult because, let's just be honest, the Lions are not the same Lions as they used to be.
Yet.
Dan Campbell has completely changed the culture of that team. It's not the same team anymore.
For now. Right. I do have a massive hot take, though. Dan Campbell will be on the hot seat at the end of this season if he continues to be a player and not a coach. The Detroit Lions lost 3 games last year because he was a player and not a coach. And the games he won, he did not win because he was a player and not a coach. That's something that a lot of people are pushing off to the side and not realize. If he was a coach, he wouldn't have called that one play. One play cannot win you a football game. One play can lose you a football game. An accumulation of great team ball wins you a football game, but a boneheaded play by a coach can affect all of that in moments. And the risk it for all the biscuit when you have the team you have behind you makes no sense anymore. I don't want to see that from him anymore. I don't. I want to see him to start trusting his football team, not specific players, his fucking team, right? Yeah. It could be argued, he trusts his offense to make that play. Why, though? Why? Because why are you in a position to think that you have to trust your offense when you have the defense that you have both coordinators coming back, which shouldn't have happened, but one's an idiot and the other one is too greedy? I can't figure out how that goes, which is super weird to me. Maybe they're both greedy. Regardless, they are great coordinators.
Yeah.
Let them coordinate. And it's time for Dan Campbell to be a head coach because they would have been in the Super Bowl last year if Dan Campbell would have been a coach and not a player.
Yeah, they gave up. That whole game was a fucking meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching meltdown, let's just say it.
So if it happens again, Dan Campbell will be on a hot seat. And it seems unthinkable, right? Because, look at who we were. But if you're okay with living on a plateau that wasn't meant for you, then stay there, right? But you've hit that realm where the peak has to keep moving up. And if you're not moving up, then you're never going to get to that peak. And in that position, it does. I think it falls on the head coach. Which, does he get fired at the end of next year? No, it's called a hot seat, not an ejection seat.
Right. Problem is, though, there's a lot of those teams in the NFL that stay at mediocrity. One of them is Buffalo.
Yes, absolutely.
Pittsburgh's been in mediocrity for the last few years.
Yeah.
The coach has gotten him to the Super Bowl, but they just can't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the Lions is a completely different situation. They had it, and you could see the reason why that they lost it was because of stupidity.
Yeah,
ignorance.
It was just ignorance. Yep, ignorance and arrogance. And then again, too, this is not knocking the Detroit Lions. We're talking about you getting to the Super Bowl.
Trying to help you fix the situation here. We don't know everything, but I can tell you from watching an outsider perspective.
We've won Super Bowls before. We know what Super Bowl winning teams look like. We know what a Super Bowl culture looks like. We know what a Super Bowl winning fan base looks like. So to put a little bit of that into perspective, the Detroit Lions are right there. And as an NFC North resider, right? Resider. No, listen to me. As an NFC North resident, if the Green Bay Packers don't win at all, but the NFC North wins it all, that's fantastic. And that's what we want. We want the NFC North to be the most competitive league or the most competitive division in the NFL. Because that's going to make for great football, and it's going to make our teams better. It's going to make other teams think. It's going to bring the fans in. It's going to bring the electricity, the energy, and we're right there. We're right there at the cusp-ice of, or at the precipice.
Yeah.
All these words are leaving me. Regardless, we're sitting on an edge looking over without a parachute. Indubitably. We're right there. The Bears have the potential. 9 wins. Yeah. But this could be a 9-win playoff team.
It could be. This could be a tiebreaker, like we said, a scenario. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins that last game, maybe, or it comes down to points, even. I can't remember. It can come down to a bunch of different things.
Even Minnesota's a really good football team. They're coached by a really good coach. What was his name again? I can never remember it. Yeah, God. Oh, shit. You can't blame us. We're Packer fans.
I don't know. I just remember they had Leslie Frazier and all kinds of these other guys there.
Mike Zimmer. So the future of the NFC North, Kevin O'Connell, there he is. He's our guy. The guy we never remember, but a face you can't forget, Mr. Kevin O'Connell. He's a wonderful dude. But football is right around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. Patrick, did you have anything else you wanted to put on this NFL stamp? Because we've got other sports going on.
I guess one other thing the NFL needs to talk about, the Tank Dell.
Yeah. Fucker got shot, eh?
Absolutely. Not just him. 10 other people.
I heard teenagers being charged with attempted homicide.
So what was it? A nightclub party in Florida?
Yeah. It was a private event.
Yeah.
A fight broke out. And some punk-ass little bitch-fuck teenager pulled out a fucking punk-ass gun because he ain't nothing but a little fucking pussy-ass bitch and started shooting people. Because that's what you do. If you're a punk-ass fucking pussy, you pull out a gun. You pull out some kind of weapon because you're fucking scared. Because your big fuck-off mouth got you into a situation you can't get out of. And now you figure you got to try and turn the tables or some shit. Why don't you go bury your fucking head in the sand, do us all a favor, and start sucking in real deep? It's fucking retarded. It's just stupid. And to the parents out there who, how did he get? Because you're stupid. You don't pay attention to your children. You don't listen to them. You don't ask them questions. Stop being fucking stupid, too. Now I got Tank Dell, a wonderful kid, doing wonderful things in the NFL. Probably just being there for family or friends or, hey, chillaxing, relaxing. Gets fucking shot after a horrendous leg injury. That was fucking sad.
The only good news, I believe, it was minor injuries for him, but I'm not entirely sure about the other guys, the other 9 players.
There was no life-threatening injuries, from my understanding. It was all wounds treated and dispersed. And basically, in the eyes of the city, because the same thing happened at the Kansas City Chiefs parade. When the Kansas City Chiefs DJ, a beloved soul, bright light, a shining star, was shot by some stupid fucking kid with a fucking gun because he got into a fucking fight and he pussed out. Like some pansy motherfucker. I went hard on this. I don't think the AI is going to be able to keep up, but fuck you.
Yeah. Luckily, that one, some very good Samaritans tackled the guy.
Absolutely.
Got away from him. So props
good,
to them again.
Good people doing great things, putting their lives on the line every fucking second. And you don't have to, right? And this, for one, listen to me. This is not me calling for gun control. So if you're here watching the video thinking that this is where it's going to go, kick rocks, okay? Because that's not where we go. Ask Germany just before World War II how the fuck that worked out for them.
Okay? Australia as well.
Australia. Ask China how it's doing for them. It's not. So just stop it. But what this is me yelling at the stupidity, at the just plain pansy, the lowest of low. You are not tough. You're not a man. You are nothing. You are nothing but a little bitch. Period. End of fucking sentence. I gotta end it there.
Be better.
Because if I go anywhere, but it's a tragedy. It's a goddamn tragedy. Fucking absolutely. Tanked out. Man, best wishes to him. I'm super glad that everything worked out. The dude's an explosive talent. I can't wait to select you in the late mid to late third round. I'm super stoked. If somebody jumps ahead of me now,
get healthy and sign the rest of those sports cards.
Yeah, sign those sports cards too, Tanky. Come on, Tanky. Yeah,
you're wounded, but
because you're wounded, you should be at home resting. And if you're at home resting, sign those cards, playa. Sign those cards. We appreciate you, Tank Dell. We appreciate you and everything you've done. Please get healthy.
Woo-hoo. Did you happen to look up any crazy, wild Wisconsin facts? I got a whole load of them.
All right, drop them off. I'm gonna look up a couple.
This one drives me fucking nuts. Number one, no butter substitutes in Wisconsin. It's illegal for restaurants to serve margarine.
Fuck yeah, it should be
unless specifically requested by the customer.
I don't like that. I can't believe it's not butter bullshit. Guess what? I could totally believe it's not butter. You tell me on the container it's not butter. What, you leave nothing to the imagination.
All right, here's a crazy one. It's illegal to kiss on a train in Wisconsin.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. The other one is still no serving apple pie without cheese. Restaurants in Wisconsin are prohibited from serving apple pie without cheese. Huh. Swearing in front of a corpse. In La Crosse, it's illegal to swear in front of a dead person. Illegal to wake a sleeping firefighter. In Racine, it's against the law to wake a firefighter when they're asleep. Let them have the rest.
Damn.
No serving beer in bowls and taverns in Wisconsin. I feel like this one was probably attempted one or two times.
Oh, I bet.
Apparently, you cannot bring a live chicken to the cinema in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, or a drive-through movie theater. Cheddar cheese requirement. If you're going to make apple, that's the same one. Prohibition of selling home-baked goods. Until recently, it was illegal to sell homemade baked goods in Wisconsin without the license.
Ginseng? What is ginseng?
Oh, that's the, like, up in Wausau, they've got the ginseng farms. It's in all those teas and stuff like that. It's
in Marathon County in Wisconsin. Marathon County in Wisconsin produces the entire ginseng grown in the United States, accounting for roughly 10% of the world's supply in Marathon County.
Interesting. The no roadkill taking home one seems like a pretty no-brainer. Don't think you'd want to be taking roadkill home to eat. But...
You shouldn't.
Times are tough.
But this is God's land. God forbid anybody tell me I can't take nothing God put on it.
Bring her home. Cook her up. Make some burger.
Shit.
Especially if it was a chicken.
I'm going to be getting a gold.
Birds.
I'm going to be getting a gold tooth soon, bro.
Get the gold tooth?
Yeah, I'm going to be getting a gold tooth soon. This one's dead. It's dying. And I'm like a dental phobic, right? There's probably three things in life that if we were walking down the street and you were like, yo, I'm a, and I'd punch you right in the mouth and go the other way. Dentist is one of them. They're wonderful people. I love them. They do wonderful work. They're really good at their job.
Let's just get the gold grills.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. So I'm just,
yeah, we'll do with it.
Yeah, one of these days I'm just gonna wake up and I'm gonna be like, fuck. Then I got to go to the dentist, which seems ridiculous, right? Oh, if you hate nobody the dentist, why would you not fuck? Fuck you. I don't know. I would not do that if I wasn't doing that. But I can't fucking explain it. So moving forward.
I can't wait to get into some of our fantasy pick-ems or whatever we do with our pies, with our cakes. We're going to do them with all kinds of shit.
Yeah. Fuck cheesecake, man. Seriously.
Fuck cheesecake. Mandy was really upset that you said that. She was like, cheesecake. And I was like, I I can stand cheesecake, but I don't love cheesecake.
Get off me, Bang. The wife loves cheesecake, right? And yeah. I think that works, right? I don't fucking like pickles. So guess what? Whenever she buys pickles, no matter how many times she opens that refrigerator door, there will be those fucking pickles.
Right,
now,
yeah,
you,
same
now,
situation.
If you buy something that I like, I do my very darndest to not take the last one. That, but that's right. The best I can offer.
Here's
the
thing.
Best I can offer.
If we're talking about
cookies, where, you're fine.
Is cheesecake going on? Is cheesecake going with pies or cakes? It goes with pies.
Because no, I believe I think it belongs in the bracket with pineapple on pizza.
Oh, either way,
it's just it's a fucking hybrid.
Either way, Charles, it is a yeah. It's a play-in.
I'm pretty sure it's a pie, though.
It's a play-in game. It's going in the 16 seed or whatever, and it's going up against apple pie or something. We already explained
cheesecake
this.
Cheesecake is not a cake. Right there, I fucking hate it already.
It's not a cake.
I hate it already.
It can be because it's cold.
So, yeah, despite the name cheesecake, is not a cake. Definition of a cake is a bread-like dessert that's baked from a thick batter. And cheesecake's qualities don't fit that bill. So right off the bat, cheesecake. Okay? Cheesecake. You don't come to the table going, hey, I'm a cake. Also made of cheese, but I'm not a cake, and I'm not actually totally made of cheese. Actually, there's never really any cheese in me at all. What's the cheese in cheesecake? Oh. Cream cheese? You got that shit macaroni and cheese. So you got macaroni and cheesecake now? That's fucking crazy. Cheesecake people to me, I don't trust you anymore. I don't trust
this
cheesecake
is the world
people.
That we live in.
If you could just nilly-willy go up to something fake and go, oh, this is the best thing ever, even though most people don't know if it's a cake or pie. I just had to look up if it was a cake or pie. I know who Batman is. It's Bruce Wayne. I don't know who cheesecake is. So I don't trust cheesecake.
Do you want to know?
Pretzels, on the other hand, I fucking love pretzels.
Oh, dude. I told we were going to jump into what rotates our gears in the opposite direction. I've got one today.
All right.
Holy shit.
Hell yeah.
I was going into Quick Trip the other day to get coffee because my ass forgot to make coffee. We stopped there. I'm like, man, I need to get coffee. Swing in there. I got my Quick Trip card. I'm going to get my free coffee. Going there for my 24-ounce cup of coffee. Going in there to get the coffee. And I get my nice Kona roast, my dark roast. I like my coffee a little bit heavier.
Yeah.
I go in there. Put a little cream in there. A little cream.
Yeah.
Get the coffee. A guy comes up next to me. He brings a cup in. This thing has got dirt and hand marks on him. He looks like he does construction.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I forgot my coffee cup at home. What bothers me, what's rotating my gears in the opposite direction, is the fact you brought this dirty ass coffee cup in here to fucking get your 10 cents off your refill so that you can get this cup of coffee for 99 cents instead of $1.29 or $1.19, whatever it is. Yeah. I'm all for saving the planet. But if you want to save the planet, buy a fucking aluminum or a steel coffee cup and bring that fucking thing into the grocery store or wherever it sells coffee that you get it from, the damn Quick Trip, the gas station, whatever. Pisses me off.
Yeah. Absolutely. Makes no sense.
Well, because you're waiting for them to count out change most of the time to pay for their coffee, and it's, I'll buy you a cup. The fuck out of the way.
Do you know how many times in life that I've just sat there and looked at the line I went in and went, fuck, I'm going to pay for this person just so I can get the fuck out of here.
Right? I've done it before.
100 times a year, dude. 100 times a year, I pay for the person in front of me because I don't trust them to math. Like, you're just not mathing right. Or you don't know how to use the card machine, and I just don't have time for you to learn how to use the card machine.
What's funny is we go to Aldi's and people try to give me the quarters. I'm just telling them, like, take the fucking cart. I don't want to have to push it back up there. Just take it.
Yeah.
No, take the quarter. You don't even give me a quarter. You give me two dimes and a fucking nickel.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's so weird. I've been super lucky when it comes to Aldi's. Every time I've gone there, there's always just been a quarter in that first cart.
Oh, man, you're striking gold.
Yeah, dude, like almost every time. I've gone maybe 6 times.
six, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
seriously.
5 out of 6.
I've never had to put a quarter in that motherfucker.
Nice.
Yeah, that frustrates me too. It's Some of those things are just mind-numbing, to be honest with you. All right, let's see. Let's see. So ginseng producer, something about a badger state, margarine. 19 starting... Okay. Although the ban has since been lifted. Okay, so Wisconsin prohibited the sale and use of margarine starting from 1895 to 1967. Although the ban since been lifted, there are still some restrictions that remain on margarine. Today, it is illegal for restaurants to serve their customers margarine in place of butter unless the customer requests for it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's so fucking cool.
I wonder why it was ever put that way. It has to be something with it's not real butter, and people would be mad that it's not real butter. That must be what it is.
Being the Dairyland state, I'm wondering.
This is just something that they originally said, you know what? We're not going to be the fake state. We're not doing fake butter. Yeah.
Margarine. What was that? 1867 or 1897?
Yeah, 1860 something.
Yeah. Let me see here real quick. Not 1895. Wow, I was just a little bit off. 1895.
Damn, over 100 years.
Yeah.
129 Oleo years.
In 1895, Wisconsin enacted a law that prohibited the manufacture and sale of yellow oleo margarine within the state.
Yeah.
I didn't. With the primary motivation behind this prohibition was to protect the dairy industry. That's what I figured.
Okay.
Let me share some interesting details about this historical quirk. Okay, bing, let's do it. Wisconsin's ban specifically targeted yellow margarine. If you wanted to buy margarine in Wisconsin during that time, you could only get it in unappetizing white. Moreover, an extra tax was imposed on white margarine to discourage its consumption. Oleo runs, O-L-E-O runs. As neighboring states began easing restrictions on yellow margarine, Wisconsin became the last holdout. Consumers from Wisconsin would cross state borders to purchase the cheaper, more appealing yellow margarine. This practice led to what was humorously called the Oleo run. The state had inspectors at the border to detect violence. Bro, this was a big fucking deal, man.
It would be the equivalent of going and buying weed in Illinois.
It's worse than that, dude. They don't even care for that. Just don't be speeding, dude. It's worse than that.
They had inspectors.
They had inspectors
vehicles
at the border to detect violators who brought colored margarine back into Wisconsin. However, widespread violation of the law occurred, and people continued to smuggle yellow margarine from neighboring states. Eventually, in 1963, Minnesota rescinded its ban on yellow margarine, leaving Wisconsin as the sole state with the prohibition. In 1967, Wisconsin finally repealed its ban, allowing yellow margarine to be legally sold in the state. For nearly 72 years, yellow margarine remained illegal in Wisconsin, leading to some quirky and memorable moments in the state's culinary history.
So it was the fake butter war of 1895?
I think it was way more intense than the French and Heinz war.
I'm thinking so, too. It seems like they were going at it, like, hardcore. They didn't want any of that yellow shit over here.
So there's butter, and then there's margarine.
Yes, margarine is just basically fat.
And then there's, like, famunda.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Now we've got all these different ones, though.
That must be the Oleo runs kicking in when you hit that famunda with the little sweat cheeks.
Famunda cheese.
So we've got, that's some pretty cool news. We've got basketball still wrapping up. There's a lot going on in the first round. We're interested to talk about LeBron James. Sucks to be you, billionaire. Oh, no. They'll probably not be knocked out by the Nuggets. It's not like some magical story is about to happen here. They're back in Denver. That should be taken care of. Indiana just wants it more. Yeah, we could talk about injuries. Yeah. We could talk about Doc Rivers. But on paper, the Milwaukee Bucks are a much better team. And Indiana's just playing harder. And Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton is destroying the Bucks. He continues to destroy the Bucks. I don't know if we picked Giannis instead of old boy Ty Halliburton there, but I don't know what happened there. He's super pissed at Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Good for him. Good for them. The Knicks doing Knicks things. That's fantastic. Boston doing Boston things. I believe they're playing Miami. What's that right now? Let's see if we can get a small update. Tampa Bay and the Brewers are having a fun little battle right now. It's 1-0 Tampa Bay.
Man, that
on this basketball game. So
the baseball thing went off. I get a lot of people's disgust with it, but at the end of the day, it's going to be a judgment call with baseball. We can argue it all we want, but it's still making baseball terrible.
Absolutely.
It's still making baseball
terrible. The fact that they came out and went, yeah, we missed that call. I just don't know how. I don't know how there's so many of you.
It's interference all day long.
I just
get it at all.
I don't know what the third base umpire was looking at. I don't know what home plate umpire was looking at. I know what the second base umpire was probably looking at, but I have no idea what the first base umpire was looking at.
He had his back turned, apparently.
The first base umpire? I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I know that the first base, the third base, and the home plate umpire, all three who were supposed to be doing their fucking job, didn't. The second base umpire was looking at the foot, or was looking at the bag. I promise you, he was looking at the bag.
Yeah, that was what it was.
Right? And he was seeing the ball get in the glove, the foot on the bag, and nothing from Judge. Okay. But again, you're in the professional baseball league, right? I don't know why you just stared at it, because Judge...
Here's the thing. By the rule, it wouldn't matter if Judge... He hit the ball... With his hand, he's out regardless.
Yeah.
Regardless. Like he didn't even have to step on the bag. Right. He hit the ball. He's out.
Like, even the base runners, when the ball is hit, stop so they don't get hit by the ball.
Yeah, exactly. They wait or they hop over it if it's coming at them and they can jump over it. I've had to do it in softball before.
The best part about that video, too, bro, is all the people on there commenting, nothing's wrong with that. Shut the fuck up.
The fact they say he does it all the time is just stupid. Yeah, he wears the old oven mitt on his hand because he doesn't ever slide head first. Go get the fuck out of here.
You could not have been more stupid than in that moment, because you could have then looked at the umpire's after action report and see that they told you they missed the call. Yeah. They all came out and said, we missed the call. Well after, or well before, any of you made your comments, right? You're wrong, which is fine. I'm wrong sometimes too. That's part of life. Just the fact that you so freely type random things is befuddling to me.
The other thing is, people looked at it. He didn't even start his slide until he was almost.
He already knew he was out, dude. Look at his body language, dude.
Yeah.
His body language was like,
I need to slide now.
Yeah.
And he timed it.
And sure, afterwards, he didn't even look. He didn't even turn around and look at
nothing. No, he knew he was out. Yeah, he just had the ball hit my hand. Hopefully the guy's safe on first base.
Yeah. Everybody came back. Once he got back to the dugout, everyone said, dude, yeah, man. Fuck.
See, that's F not off. Team baseball. Yes, do I understand try to interrupt a double play? But that's usually going hard into the base. That's not what he did. What he did is blatantly obvious, trying to swat the ball away. That's bullshit. That's Bush League, as we would call it.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
Not a fan.
No. Belmont was the original capital of Wisconsin.
Belmont. Where was this?
Oh, it's a long time ago.
No, I said, where was this? Where is this? Where's Belmont?
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
It was founded in 1836. At that time, Wisconsin wasn't a state yet, but a territory. There is a historic park to the west side of Belmont Mound State Park where you can see a lodging house and council house for the legislators at that time. That's neat. So there's big things continuing to happen in baseball. Well done, umpires. You're completely ruining this year. It's just, we spoke about it a little bit on Sunday, dude. I just do not understand for the life of me how
It's time to grade
you,
them.
That's what I'm saying. How you can allow this to continue. It just it makes no sense. It makes no sense in the NFL. It makes no sense in the MLB. It's not a small few anymore. It's the mass majority.
NFL ones get graded.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
they do. But no, I'm just saying, come NFL season, dude, it's just game after game of the same mistakes being made. These aren't new mistakes. These are the same fucking mistakes being made over and over again.
It's the same officials every year.
It's insanity.
Is it like a cult with the officials the same way as with the umpires and all stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's us against the world. I'm surprised every single one of them don't have a t-shirt on underneath their uniform that says us against the world. It's disgusting. I'm sick of talking about them, but they give us no choice. It's crazy to me. I'm just going to start looking up Murder, She Wrote novels. I'm going to start telling you guys about death mysteries here in a minute, because you can't tell me it's not a fucking shit pony show anymore at all wrapped around Vegas. That's fine. I'm not a gambler. Our state doesn't let us do it. So
right, we need to break down that extreme hobby horsing too one of these days.
Hell yeah.
Maybe next episode I'll dig into this and get some video.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole window out there. Mr. Rogers showed us that. But baseball will be what baseball is. If it's this bad before July, I'm sure there are memos being dropped down, things being done. You have to believe that.
At some point, baseball is going to be the fixture of our podcast sports episodes. Unless something crazy happens, we're going to be sitting here talking about the umpires instead of the players on the field. And that's going to become the shitty part. It's already becoming that 25, 30 games in.
Yeah. Arguably what should have been the best series of the weekend in the Brewers versus the Yankees was a complete shit show. Game one was awesome. Oh, the Brewers won. No, shut up. Game one was awesome.
Yeah.
Game two was disgusting. We've got a pitcher that needs to be DFA'd. I have no idea why you continue to throw him out there. That's on us. But game three, somebody had money on somebody, and it was damn prevalent. There's no way you could tell me otherwise. And here's the disgusting fact. Even if it wasn't money, today's sports world doesn't allow you to think about anything else. For God's sakes, Pete Rose was one interpreter away from being in the Hall of Fame.
Do you think maybe somebody just had a vendetta? Maybe an umpire?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because they're human. They're human. You know, to hear that pitchers and star players would go out of their way to have a conversation, or that baseball teams in the locker room have dossiers on their umpires so you could know about their family, about what they like, about what they love, so you can go up there and talk to them and schmooze them and ask them so you get the better calls. That's fucked up. That's human. And you need to take that element out of there. You need to take it. It's time for it to go. As a Tigers fan, I've seen way too much of it.
Here's the thing.
As a Brewers fan, I'm seeing way too much of it.
Of all the umpires that are in any sport, the home plate umpire doesn't need to be there.
No.
Not anymore. No. Not anymore.
Nope. You could put him in the outfield.
Yeah. He can still be on the field. Like I said, get another extra set of eyes on third or whatever. Down the line. There you go.
You put him further down the line. You get two more. Take the home plate umpire out, and you get two more. For one, the home plate umpire at times is more of an obstruction than a follower of the rules, right? A pitch goes by the catcher.
Yeah.
And every sense of the world, that ball should go to the backstop, runner advances to the base. Yeah. Smokes the umpire in the face, the ball drops straight down, nobody goes forward. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
But you do. I think the next thing that needs to change in baseball is the umpires. It's the next thing that needs to be talked about in the CBA. It's the next thing that needs to be talked about with the Players Association. It's the next thing that needs to be talked about and the owners' meetings and the baseball winter meetings. It's time to end this fuckery. You too, Arizona. Figure your shit out, by the way. It's fucking weird. Arizona, you're losing sports teams. You're just doing a lot of really weird shit with laws. Like, unfuck yourself, Arizona, for reals. That's crazy to me. Fucking weirdo.
Not a place I want to go. It's fine.
No. I, fuck. Arizona, you might as well call yourself California.
Calizonia. Yeah.
Calizonia. But that sounds too much like calzone, and I like calzones.
Calzona.
Calizona. Either way, fuck them.
Either way, fuck them.
There was a lot of fuck-ems this episode, but to smooth the ship a little bit, the world really is a better place with all of you in it. I enjoy a lot of what the internet has to offer me. So please keep being great, right? Patrick, do you have anything else you want to add? No, we're all square. Yeah. So just keep being you, keep being awesome, and smile more.